I don't know about you guys, but I love to hear stories like Colin and Anna's because there's something that just resonates down in us of like, don't you long to make an impact in this world? Don't you long to see that there's more than just what the world offers of get what you can and get as much as you can, enjoy all that you can, and then life's over? Do you long to make a kingdom impact? Something that's gonna last forever. And what lasts forever? People's souls, people's hearts. And if they know the Lord Jesus Christ and grow in him, that's the most important thing we could ever give our lives toward. And Colin and Anna are saying yes. But this message today is for all of us. That we would all today just hear the Lord say, I have something for you. I have people I want you to reach. I have people I want you to impact for my kingdom. And so as we walk into this passage today, may the Lord speak to us. May we have open ears for what he has to say to us. And I'd like to just pray that he would do that. Lord, as we step into the fall here, as this is right upon us of school and a new season of ministry here at the church, and as we are engaging with people in our neighborhoods and apartment complexes and at work, Lord, we want to pray that you would speak to us today and have us be ready for what you want us to do, that our answer to you would be yes, and today you would build into us what we need so that we can be kingdom impact makers as well. And so do that this morning as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, when we see people like Colin and Anna, we are like, hey, that's amazing, that's so great. But we think, how did they get to that point? Right? What goes into a life that's ready to say, yeah, I'm going to go overseas and serve the Lord? What about the Apostle Paul, who spent his life going around the Mediterranean region sharing about Jesus with people and planting churches? What went into that in his life? What are the ingredients of a kingdom impact maker? Well, we're going to look at this idea of impact. And so, you know, I have this piece of chocolate cake here, and don't mind if I do. Yeah, oh, that's just, look at this. Excuse me. That was delicious. I did make it myself. You see a piece of chocolate cake, you wonder, what goes into that? Like, it doesn't just appear one day, although you can pick it up at the store. Someone, you know, a store may have baked it. Maybe someone made it for you. But somewhere along the line, something went together, the ingredients to make this. There's flour in there, some sugar, lots of sugar. There's some baking powder, some cocoa, and eggs, yeah, eggs. And here it got baked together, and voila, you have a piece of chocolate cake. But there's ingredients that go into this, just like there's ingredients that go into a life of impact. And that's what we're going to look at today in 2 Thessalonians. And as we read this, we're getting the heart of the Apostle Paul as he's saying, hey, guys, you need this, and we need this, and we need this to come together if we're going to have kingdom impact. So follow along as I read these first five verses. I want another bite of cake. Sorry, that was really good. If you're nice, maybe later on you can come up and have a bite. Finally, brothers, these are the words of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonian church. The people in this church have been around for a year. Paul has moved away. He's writing this back to them. Finally, brothers, pray for us, Paul and his team, that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. That's ingredient number one. And pray that we will be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. That's ingredient number two. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. That's ingredient number three. And may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. That's ingredient four. We're going to look at these four ingredients of the life of kingdom impact. And just a quick observation from the beginning. There's two verses that talk about Paul writing to these people in the Thessalonian church, hey, pray for us. And then he's giving them some words that he's saying to them to encourage them. All of these things are about having a life of kingdom impact. And what I love in the beginning of this is a quick note. Here's Paul, the veteran. He's been around doing this for years now. He's had a couple of missionary journeys. He's put some miles on. And he's saying to this brand new church, only a year old, hey, you guys, pray for me. We've seen so far Paul praying for them a number of times, what he's praying for them. Now he's saying, hey guys, pray for me, pray for us, because we need the Lord's help. And then he's encouraging them on their journey. And what it means to me here as I see this is, whether you're a veteran or you're a newbie in the faith, all of us have a role to play and can step into this idea of being kingdom impact makers. The first ingredient of all that is found in verse 1. An impact maker trusts in the power of God's word. All right, so since we're going to make a little cake this morning, here's the bowl. Here's the mix, Betty Crocker. Super moist cake mix with chocolate fudge. So later afterwards, you can come and take a little taste. But so we're going to put the dry mix in here. Inside here, there's probably flour and sugar and baking powder and cocoa and all that. So this is the dry mix. This is really the substance of the cake that we're going to make. Because you got to have those things in order for something to really bake and rise and come together with some substance. And truly, that's what the Word of God is in this mix. It's the substance. It's the core element of what we have if we're going to make an impact. Does the world need your opinion and my opinion about this and that and the other? The world needs to hear what God has to say, right? We hear enough of what other people have to say. We need to hear what our Maker has to say, what our Savior has to say. His word is what matters the most. And an impact maker has learned to trust in the power, the effectiveness, the substance of God's word. That's why he's asking them to pray. Hey, pray that God's word would spread rapidly, that it would be honored in this region where we are now. Well, where is Paul? He's saying, pray that it will grow where we are. Well, he is in the city of Corinth. We're going to put a map up here. I know you can't see the zoomed out view, but Corinth, you'll see another map in a second. But this is illustrating how there's the city of Corinth. It's kind of right on the left side of this isthmus, this land bridge between two bodies of water. This is in southern Greece. And you can see this would be a strategic place for a military base to protect between two land bases, to this bridge where there were many wars fought over the years of people, armies coming across this land bridge. Corinth is in this place of strategy, of trade, of wealth, political figures coming through here, a lot of influence, and a lot of immorality as well. Here, let's go forward to the next slide here, and you can see the difference between where Corinth is in Greece and where Thessalonica is. That's where the Thessalonian church was that Paul is writing to. He's a couple hundred miles away writing this letter to them. He's now down in Corinth in this city. Paul has traveled from the north, Thessalonica, Berea, down to Athens, the capital city, then over to Corinth. And he is sharing the word of God there. He's trying to tell them what the message is about Jesus, that there's a Savior who loves us and who died for us. Romans 1:16 is a great verse where he says to the city of Rome, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, For it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. That's how Paul felt about God's word. He's preaching it there in Corinth. He's saying, this is the power of God for all who will believe, and I'm sharing it passionately. So here he's in Corinth, in this city. It'd be like going into the United States, picking a city that's strategically military. It has a military base. It has a lot of wealth. It has a lot of important political figures. It's got a lot of sinfulness and immorality. What kinds of cities in the United States would that be? Washington, D.C.? Maybe like New York? San Francisco? Think of like back in the old days, like how they had to protect the ports and all that. That's the kind of cities that Corinth would be. And that's where Paul is saying, hey, pray for me. Because I'm in a city where they're not going to be probably very responsive to the word of God, and yet I'm going. I'm here, and I'm sharing the word of God. Think about people you have gone to before, that you've tried to share the word of God with. Think about friends that seem so far away from Jesus. Think about a person who just keeps tripping up on their same problem over and over again, and they're like, yeah, God, uh-huh, and then they just leave all that behind and dive into what traps they have in their life. Think about a person. I've had someone say to me, I'm not religious, and just shut off the conversation and never bring that up again. People who grew up in other religious backgrounds who are saying, I don't want to hear about your God. That's what Paul was facing. You faced it. Paul was facing it. Acts 18 records Paul going there and immediately hitting resistance. He was there in Corinth. He went first to the synagogue with the Jews. There were Jews scattered around every city in the Roman Empire. And he's going to start there. And as he's trying to share God's word, they were resistant with him. They didn't want to hear about it. They were a little more civilized than other places. Other places, that they would just try to kill him and stir up the city and throw a riot and get him kicked out of the city or stoned to death and die. At least in Corinth, they tried to do it through the courts, through the public courts. And they brought Paul to court and they tried to try him there. And by God's grace, they didn't buy into what the Jewish synagogue was trying to argue. And in fact, it kind of brought a reversal there and Paul was allowed to go free. But he hit resistance from day one. There's no wonder why he's writing to the Thessalonians and say, hey guys, pray for me. I need God's power here, for the power of his word to break through, that it would spread rapidly in this city. Spread rapidly. There's a word. You can't really see it in the English translations, but that word from the Greek language is the word that we would get our word for trek. Like to make a trek, a journey, a long walk. Well, in the Greek language, it's more in the sense of a race. That God's word would run ahead of all the competitors and would be the winner. That God's word would run ahead and be honored in this city. That's a pretty cool thought that he's asking them to pray about. And it brings up that we're in a great time here thinking about races, that it's the closing weekend of the Olympics. Maybe you've seen some of the races going on. There's been some big storylines. One of the ones that I really enjoyed hearing about was earlier this week, the 1500 meter men's race. There was a guy by the name of Cole Hawker. You guys remember this? So here he was. He's an American. He was not expected to win this race. He wasn't expected to do very well at all, actually. But the arrow there is pointing to him. He was kind of back in the middle of the pack for most of the race. And they're coming around the last lap. He tried to make a little pass, couldn't get through, was kind of blocked by some guys. They're coming around the last corner and into the final straightaway. And there he is. He's back right there in third place. He was as back as fourth, fifth, sixth. But he's gotten to third place there. And it looked like he was going to maybe get the bronze medal. But on that straightaway, he dug deep, somewhere down into the recesses of his heart and soul, made his body push past all the limits, got around the outer edge, and ran past everybody and beat him by a whole body length. So here's the picture at the end. He crossed the finish line. He won the gold medal. This guy, Cole Hawker, trekked. You guys know what I'm saying? There's this word in the Greek language. He was that guy right there. He outran all the other competition, and he won the race. That's what Paul's asking. Guys, Pray that the word of God would outrun all the other competitors because it's the only thing that can change people's lives. Paul was convinced of that. He trusted in the power, the effectiveness of God's word. You know, there are people around us, like who are around Paul, who need to hear of a God who loves them. They need to hear of a God who created them. They need to hear of a God who knows all of their needs and is ready to answer prayer. He's ready to forgive sinners who come and ask. He's ready to bring about change in their life, to welcome them into his family. If you want a life of impact, you got to know that the word of God is the effective ingredient to be able to see life change. People need to hear it. They need to be able to read it. They need to be able to think about it. They need to be able to discuss it. They need to see it lived out in someone's life. It's got to come back to the word of God. Why? Because the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing down between soul and spirit. It's what gets down to the heart so that God can speak. And so in all the places that you're going this fall, don't forget, whether you speak the word of God, whether you have someone read the word of God, whether you plant little seeds of the word of God in maybe a card that you write, you put a verse in it, whether you're able to have some sort of Bible study or discipleship time where you're opening the word of God and discussing it, scatter the seeds of the word of God because it and only it can change people's lives. You just heard Pastor Brett share at the beginning of the service about a man who's reading it now for the first time. His life is changing. What if we were doing that wherever we went? That's the first ingredient of an impact maker. They have discovered it for themselves and they trust in the power of the Word of God. Second ingredient for an impact maker, verses 2 and 3 bring up the reality that not everyone is going to be receptive when we bring the word of God. We're going to need something to help us. And that's the power and presence of God for his protection, his blessing as we do it. Verses 2 and 3, I pray that we would be delivered, saved from the wicked and evil men. For not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. He's saying, pray for us because there's people who are against us, people who are wanting to attack us, people who are wanting to shut us down. And he's saying, you guys, as you're trying to live for the Lord like this too, and you're trying to be on mission, there will be people who are coming after you. And so I'm trusting that the Lord will protect you from the evil one who's trying to stop you. And that's the reality that we live in, that not everyone is going to be receptive to the word. The Apostle Paul, we just shared earlier that he was facing resistance there in Corinth. There were people trying to stop him. There were people trying to get him kicked out of the town. They didn't want him going around talking about these things. And he's saying, guys, pray. Pray that God would bring deliverance from these wicked and evil men who are trying to stop what I know to be true. I saw Jesus with my own eyes, and I'm bringing this message of the Savior, the Messiah, and they don't want to hear it. Pray for us. You and I are going to need that same kind of blessing, that same kind of power, that same kind of protection, even that same kind of anointing upon us if we're going to be bringing God's word. I'm going to bring our next ingredient, which I totally forgot in the fridge. No, it's at home. You can't go get it. Oh man, that was a moment. I forgot about that one today when I left the house. I'm going to pretend to pour oil and water into this mix right here. Oh, man. It's okay because, you know, you can imagine it with me. So imagine I had oil and water, the right proportions, put in here, and we mix it. There's not going to be a whole lot to eat, whoever said that. They wanted to have some later on. You can have some dry mix. All right? You pour that in there, and it's like the thing that's going to kind of lubricate the mix. The oil's gonna make it be able to be stirred up, and the water's gonna make it moist, and it's going to bring kind of that moist structure to the mix. God's protection is like that oil of anointing upon us, that He's with us, His presence is with us. We're not going alone, we're going with Him, and He's got our backs. That's what Paul said. Pray that we would have that. And I know God's going to do that for you. We need that. Did you get any of the emails from the Portugal team this week? At least one came out midweek. They didn't get to send a whole lot of emails because they were really busy all week long. But about midweek, they sent one that said, hey, pray for us. There's a lot of sickness going on here. And they didn't really unpack all that. They were facing a lot of difficulty on about Thursday. Because I want to say a dozen, maybe two dozen campers were sick, like fever and all that, and couldn't be part of the activities for the day. And the team was getting discouraged. Here they were, they're not only teaching English, but they had a Bible session every day. They're bringing the Word of God. They're sharing testimonies. Our team, they were all scheduled on each day to bring a testimony about how God has impacted their life and what that means in their life. And there's worship sessions and all these things. And the campers were missing that. And the team was like, no, this is not good. Like, this, of all the time we have this week, they get to be exposed to all this. And their plea was, pray. And we prayed and they prayed. And God has a way of breaking through. If you want to hear what happened and all that, you're going to have to come out in a couple weeks on a Sunday night, and they're going to share the whole story about it. But there's a team that's going, there's something that is being exposed, our human limitations. We can't control these circumstances, and it feels like the enemy is against us, and we're stepping into this cosmic war that the enemy is trying to stop what God's wanting to do, and I'm just a human being. What am I going to do? And the only thing you know to do in those times is what? Pray. God, you've got to come through. You got to bring the oil to the situation because it needs your touch. The Chicago missions trip, the youth that went 2 weeks ago, they encountered also opposition from the enemy. They were in day one. There were a lot of things they didn't expect, the housing situation, and you're going to hear about it if you come out tonight. There was a bigger group they all expected. The logistics were difficult. About a day in, they said, we got to group up here because this is harder than we thought. This isn't what we expected. We got to pray. And God broke through and brought encouragement and brought hope to them. And it changed the whole trajectory of the week because they prayed. This is another key ingredient of an impact maker that we realize we've got to pray if we're going to see things go forward. If the enemy had his way, he would grind things to a halt. Anytime we're trying to be effective in someone else's life, he's going to try to bring temptation and sin and distract people. He's going to try to do that to you if you're the one bringing the message. He's going to want to bring confusion. He's going to want to disrupt things. In fact, this morning, he doesn't want the word of God to be proclaimed in this place. And he's been working overtime. We got to pray even as we go into a Sunday morning. God, will you do what you want to do? Would your word have the effectiveness that it needs to have in us? I want to challenge you, anytime that you're coming in your own quiet time to study the word, pray for God's protection, that you'd be able to understand what he wants and not be distracted. Come on Sunday mornings and pray, God, will you show up today and show yourself to me and to our people? Pray over our church as you come on Sundays and expect God to do things that only he can do. These are the kind of things we've got to do if we're going to be an impact maker. Because God is faithful and he will protect us against the enemy. I mean, even just this week, Lisette and I had a couple of times where as we were stepping into situations, we're like, okay, we need to pray together. Do you guys ever feel that? You're like, this feels harder than it should be. I'm struggling with maybe some nervousness or there's some, what I'm stepping into is bigger than I can handle. I need to pray. And so you do that, and God brings peace. He brings assurance. He may not even change all the circumstances, but he changes you. And he equips you to deal with what you're stepping into. Third ingredient of an impact maker. An impact maker has learned to obey God. It's hard to even say that word, guys. Get it out with me. Ready? Has learned to obey God's will. This is where I'd be putting eggs into the batch. Right now, because eggs help it stick together. Obeying God is how it all sticks together. We got to learn to obey him in all that he says. You know, obeying God is better than my stubborn will. Obeying God is better than me thinking I know what to do. Obeying God is better than doing what the world says to do. Why? Because God created us, and he knows what we need. He knows what's best, and so he says, do what I command. And that's the essence of what Paul said to them in verse 4 here. It says, we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. What is he talking about here? Well, in their day, they had the Old Testament scriptures that we now know. They have those as well, and they could obey the word there. But Paul was bringing also the teachings and word of Jesus. He was bringing the gospel that was not yet written down. They didn't have the New Testament, and so all of it at that time was verbal. And he's saying, guys, all the things that I'm teaching you about Jesus, put them into practice in your life. Now we have it all written down, and the same force would be upon us from the Lord. Put this into practice. Read it, pray for God to work in his effectiveness, and now live it out. Now, could Paul do that if he himself wasn't living these things out? What if Paul came in and he said, I'm going to teach you a bunch of things, but I personally don't live this myself. What if they knew him to be a liar, a storyteller, maybe to take advantage of the people he was ministering to? Would Paul have had the effectiveness in Thessalonica or in Corinth if he wasn't living it out himself? No. So an impact maker has learned to obey the Lord themselves and then to teach others to obey the Lord as well. There's a transformation that happens in our lives as we begin to obey the word of God. Paul had made a decision long ago, years before this, that Jesus was going to be number one in his life. In fact, Jesus literally put him on his face one day as he was traveling and met him in a blinding light. And Paul knew at that moment, Jesus is powerful. Jesus is the one who's worthy of my life. Jesus is the one who I need to listen to and obey. And a shift happened in his heart that day. I want to ask you, has that shift happened in your heart? Where Jesus is number one in your life? Where you know that his will is better than yours? In fact, if you were to picture it like there's a throne on your heart of who's in charge, who's calling the shots, who's sitting on that throne? Are you sitting on that throne or is Jesus? Who calls the shots in your life? An impact maker has learned Jesus needs to call the shots in my life. I'll do what he says. That doesn't mean we do it perfectly. Sometimes we mess up, but we got to come back quickly and confess that. And Lord, I was off track. I'm so sorry how I did that. I resurrender my life to you. I want you to be number one. We come back quickly. But it also means there's going to be hard decisions sometimes that we're in the middle of a situation and we're feeling tempted this way and we're about to do that, but we remember, no, that's not right. And the Lord reminds us, he's always faithful to say, hey, I'm providing you a way out of this. And if we obey him, we're going to go, okay, Lord, I say no to that, and I say yes to you. It means sometimes he's going to call us into situations that are uncomfortable for us. They're going to stretch us, and we go, Lord, I don't know if I want to do that. And he says, follow me, trust me. And we go, okay, Lord, I'm going to obey you because you know what's best, and I'm going to step into this because you've called me to. An impact maker has learned, has settled in their heart long ago that I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. Now, if you're struggling with this at all and thinking, well, does that mean that we kind of earn our favor with God? Does that mean we kind of earn our way to salvation? Obedience, is that what we're talking about? And the answer is no. We know that we are saved by grace through faith. It's his grace that saves us. We're made holy and righteous because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. When we receive him, we are declared holy and righteous in the Father's eyes. That's his grace. But now that we're saved by grace, that does not mean that we don't put effort into our growth as a Christian. We're not trying to earn something, but we got to put effort, we got to put the blood, sweat, and tears into growing, following, learning, becoming like him as he's also working in us to help us to do that. There's a quote that I like from Alan Rathbun. He works in our district of churches here in eastern Pennsylvania. Every time he puts together a report, he has this little quote, and he says this. We'll put it on the screen. Grace isn't opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. We don't put effort in order to earn something. We put effort in because we love Jesus. We're not going to take advantage of his grace in a sense that we say, well, I'm saved by grace. I don't have to do anything now. I got my ticket punched to heaven and I can just sit back. No. Saved by grace does not mean we don't now put effort into serving the Lord, following the Lord, obeying the Lord. It just means we don't have to earn our place with him. We don't make him love us more. We don't make him love us less. We don't earn his favor. We follow him because we love him. In fact, the Apostle Paul said this about himself in 1 Corinthians 1:11. He says, follow me. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. He was able to call them to say, as I'm following the Lord, as I'm straining toward him, straining ahead, I want you to follow me as well. An impact maker has learned that that's the tune. That's how we live going forward. So impact makers have learned to trust the power of God's word. They've learned to seek him for protection. They've learned to obey God. But there's one more element of the cake. If you got all this mixed together, which I would love to have mixed together if I didn't leave it in the fridge. You mix it up, you pour it in a pan, you put it in the oven, and it bakes and it comes out. Now the cake looks amazing. Is the cake done? What are you missing? Well, of course. I did remember this. It looks so good. This is what goes on top of the cake, and it makes it all come together, and it's wonderful. You need the frosting. There's one more piece here that's important to the cake, that an ingredient that goes together. But I would almost argue that this element should almost be the foundation of the cake, not the icing of the cake. It's that important. Here it is, verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and into Christ's perseverance. That word is actually steadfastness, into Christ as your rock. May he direct your hearts into God's love and into Christ's steadfastness in your life. An impact maker has grounded their identity in Christ. That's the next slide. An impact maker has settled those questions in their heart that come up in our lives. Am I significant? Does anyone love me? Do I belong anywhere? Do I have a purpose? These questions of who are we are so important to our souls, and an impact maker has settled that those questions were answered on the cross by Jesus Christ. I don't have to answer those questions by what I do, by pleasing other people, by doing enough, getting on the treadmill of life and earning and making God happy and making other people happy and trying to please everybody. It was settled on the cross. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, before we did anything right, anything good, before while we were a total mess, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for those who have their life together. He died for those who don't have it together. He saw you in your mess and he said, I want her. I want him. I want her. I want him. They're mine. I am bringing them into my family. Not based upon what we've done, but based upon his love. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, may God direct you, your heart, into God's love. Like, do you realize how much his unconditional, inexhaustible, amazing love is? Do you understand what that's like for you? And Christ's steadfastness, that he's done all the work. He's the one who brought you into his family, and you can rest in that. An impact maker goes deeper and deeper and deeper into that and has those waves of, like, delight and surprise, like, God loves me. And this is the fuel, my friends, for being a kingdom impact maker. Hearing the Lord say that again and again and again. Because the trek is hard. The journey is difficult. We meet resistance. But we need the voice of the Lord to remind us how much he loves us, and that we are his. So as we bring this morning to a close, and I remind you that impact makers have learned to trust the word of God and for its power and its effectiveness, not my words, it's his words. And I just need to get people in touch with what he has to say. As we're reminded that impact makers seek God for protection, and we need to go to him and not trust ourselves and ask him to do the work that needs to be done. And impact makers have learned to, let me remind myself again, lost my train of thought. And we've learned to obey God and what he has to say, and I want my life to be clean and pure before him so he can use me. We've also learned that my identity rests in what he has done, what he says of me, not what I say. So in these closing moments, we're going to have a time to remember that, have a chance for God to speak that over us again. And so I'm gonna pray. Just ask the Lord for this room full of kingdom impact makers, that he would get us ready for this fall, whatever he has for us. And then the song's going to be sung over us. And as it's being sung, just receive. Just be with the Lord and receive. If you want to close your eyes during that song, if you just want to listen, if you just want to hear God say again, I love you. That's what I'm going to ask for in this prayer. Lord, here in this room, you've got your people. You've gathered us today. We've heard your word. I want to pray what verse 5 says. Lord, may you direct our hearts. Like, move us into this place. Direct us into your love. And into Christ's steadfastness for us. And Lord, may that be fuel as we go into this new season, that you would use us as impact makers for your kingdom.